This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We're broadcasting this hour from member station WMFE in Orlando, Florida. Here in Orlando, throughout the country and around the world, people will take a moment to reflect and to remember those lost during the brutal attack last year at the Pulse nightclub. This day will be filled with the ringing of bells, the reading of names, the moments of silence, the makeshift memorials. This mass shooting left 49 dead and more than 50 others wounded. It was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. The majority of the victims and survivors young, queer, and Latino. In my long career as a reporter, there have been so many of these memorials around the world. The bombed Marine barracks in Lebanon, Oklahoma City, Fort Hood, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, 9/11, Columbine. All collective moments of grief and tragedy that call upon the voices of everyone in a community to call out in pain and love for much longer than a moment. Moments that change communities forever. It's what we found here in the land of make-believe, Orlando, Disney fantasy, strip mall prosperity. A troubled young man with access to guns put on a terrorist mask and began shooting.
How could one person do that much evil to young people that had their whole life ahead of them?
Or young Caitlin Cruz and her older brother, Irwin, who believe their lives will be worse than mine for all of this.
Every single month, it's almost like there's a tragedy going on. And so if we don't kind of spread that love, because love can only cure this, I just think it's getting worse and worse, and we need more acceptance around here and more of that love to make everything better.
There's a tension between the randomness of the victims in places like this and the specificity of the attacker. It's a curious tension. It makes these places seem similar and completely different.
Just because the world is losing sanity doesn't mean that we have to. You know, I don't think it's cynical at all. I think it's awareness. The more we talk about it, the more we can, you know, diagnose the root problem and actually do something, you know, about it.
Here on this street corner, a feeling of contradictions and a spirit of brotherhood, of bonding, of people hugging and trying to come together.
I just wanted to come out and pay my respects and remember what happened here a year ago. I think a year ago I wasn't ready. I didn't feel emotionally ready to come out here. But we felt we were ready, so we wanted to come out and show our support for the LGBT community and the Latino community and everyone else that lost someone that night.
All over walls and cards and little mementos left by people struggling to figure out what their connection is to a place like this, even as I'm struggling to figure out what my connection is to a place like this. But one person said it perfectly. I knew none of you. I miss all of you. Yesterday on a hot day in Orlando, we spent some time with Amanda Grau, Brian Anthony Aldear, and Terry DiCarlo at the GLBT Center of Central Florida. Lots of healing, lots of love, and lots of questions.
It's very tough. It's been a tough year for my fiance and my family as well.
What's it like to have an experience suddenly that for a period of time like this past year really seems close to defining you? You know, it's like right there ready to spill out of you, either one of you.
It's hard to live with this experience every day, going through the nightmares, the flashbacks, and so that makes it more difficult. And but to know, to have especially my fiance Elizabeth that's there with me at the house to keep me calm and sane, as well as my family, they do tend to make it a lot easier in their love and their support with that.
And for you?
For me, it's a sense of overwhelming loss, because my sister was such an important part of my children's lives. She was like a super aunt. She had them like almost every other weekend. So that aspect, especially my youngest daughter looks just like her when she was my sister's age. So just that constant reminder of oh, they're not going to get a card, or she's not going to come over to take them shopping or to the mall or to the movies. That part of it is very, very difficult.
What do the kids say?
They remember so fondly. My kids are amazing. People tend to forget how strong kids can be. 3 weeks ago, my daughter actually wore her Amanda Memorial shirt under her school shirt. And when she got home, she wanted to get in bed and like watch wrestling or something. And I was like, oh, and she took her shirt off and she was wearing it. She was like, oh, I wanted to think about Amanda today. I woke up thinking about her, so I put the shirt on because it makes me feel close to her. And I mean, she's 9, so I was like, whoa. Like, that's really, you know, touching. And the fact that she's thinking about it, but it's not a sad thinking about it, is what I really like. They, you know, the memories of their aunt are very happy in their minds, and I like that.
What was targeted a year ago here? People talk about terrorism targeting something.
I will go till my dying day that this was an attack on the LGBT community. I will stick with that. And that is my opinion. Okay? There are others, PD and other people have theirs. I will, till I am put in the ground or my ashes are spewn somewhere, that this was an attack on the LGBT community. Simple as that.
I agree. I think it was an attack on the LGBT community because someone wasn't comfortable in their own skin and they didn't know a way to get it out and try to be comfortable. So instead of trying to fix themselves, they lashed out at everybody else that could be open and could be happy and could dance freely. And it's a shame. You know, people like that need help.
I totally agree with them, but also I also think it was also a terrorist attack as well. Being trapped in the bathroom for over 3 hours with him, he stated that he wanted all of us to stop bombing their women and children from their country and stuff. So I definitely do agree with these gentlemen that it is an attack on the LGBT as well as a terrorist attack as well.
Everybody knows that sense of when you're dancing, your whole body, spirit and heart and everything is just involved in, you know, that. And then to go from that to some of the things you've described, I can't even, I just don't know.
I still keep dancing because it makes me feel good inside. It lets me in that moment be free and be myself and be free with my soon-to-be wife and friends and stuff like that. It's just a joy that brings into my life. And also being as a Latin woman too, we love to dance. Yeah, so,
got blood.
Yes.
What is the factor that most explains why you're alive?
First and foremost, God. He definitely was protecting me that night. I think just holding on in the bathroom, trying to be strong, knowing that I needed to get back to my fiance and our daughter and to get back to my family. And I think just that image in my mind kept me strong, being trapped in the bathroom and knowing that I needed to get back to my family.
You haven't been back there, right?
No, I have not been back to the Pulse site. I will be back there tomorrow for the first time. I had lost my friend Chris Sanfelice, and I made a promise to him that I would be strong enough to come back in a year.
What is it that keeps you from going there? What is it that pushes? What's that wind feel like?
Fear, scared. I have nightmares of wondering when I do go there, is somebody going to come back and finish their job and get me? That's what I fear. But again, with my fiance and my family going tomorrow, they're going to be there in support, so it's going to help a lot.
I saw something written on the wall that blew me away. Didn't stand out. It wasn't big. It was probably about that big. It was. I knew none of you. I miss all of you.
This tragedy. 365 days ago today, there was no straight, gay, black, white, red, yellow, Muslim, Catholic, Baptist here in Orlando. It was just Orlando. We had here at the center, by the time now I was down at the site, my board president, by the time he got here, there were already people standing outside this building with candles, and the front steps were loaded with flowers. And he got here at 5:30 in the morning, and they were already loaded up. By the time he opened the door, within 3 hours, there was over 600 people in this building. This affected all of Orlando. We're lighting up a display next door tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. It was built by a family, husband and wife, their 13-year-old son, their 8-year-old daughter, their grandparents. They had no connection to Pulse. They did not know anybody in the club. They had never been to Pulse. It took them a year to build this. It's incredible. And that was their way of healing, because they were hurt. They were from Orlando, and they were hurt. And it was just all of Orlando standing together, and it affected our whole city.
Did you attempt to find out what the last moments of your sister's life were like?
Sort of. I don't really ask a lot of questions, but fortunately, we've had a lot of people that her friend Brian spoke to her like right before she passed, like when she went into the bathroom. Amanda was amazing. I miss her every day. I'm so sad she's gone, but the way she went, I'm very proud. Like Mercedes, her best friend who died with her as well, who might as well have been my other little sister, they've been friends for like 12 years, was paying their tab at the bar when all the shooting started, and everyone like kind of ran for it, and Amanda went to go get Mercedes, which is the kind of person she was. Like, she didn't make it out and come back in or anything like that, but the fact that her thought was, let me get my friend real quick and then we'll get out. There aren't a lot of people like that, and I love that my sister was like that, and that's who she was, and it makes me really, really proud. And I'm sad they're both gone, but the fact that they, well, so many people were taken, were alone, and she was found with her best friend, it gives me a little bit of solace. I mean, it makes me a little happy, at least, that she didn't go alone.
Worst day, worst week, worst month of the last 365?
Tomorrow. Worst day of my life. For sure. It's going to be a very hard day for everyone, for the community, for the people that lost their loved ones that day, and also for families of survivors as well, because of that night as well. You know, nobody knew who was going to survive that night or come out, you know, alive or what. But I think it's very important that everybody is coming together as a community and to be around one another to support each and every person that is going to be there tomorrow. Because like these gentlemen said too, Orlando was hit hard a year ago. So was Tampa and St. Pete. I mean, you can just see all the vigils and everyone just tears flowing. And not only that, also you can see other other cities and stuff that also came together, and you know, just the amount of support and that was pouring in. It was truly amazing how everybody came together as a unity, as one.
Terry, what's the wisdom of Orlando for the rest of the world?
The thing about us here in Orlando, with our great leaders, our we were talking, all our LGBT organizations and elected officials were friends beforehand. So we had each other's cell phone numbers. I have the mayor's cell phone number. Every LGBT organization knows they can come stand in my office and or call me in the middle of the night if they have something going on. So when this happened, it was almost like activating the tree, the call tree. And everybody rallied to action, and everybody knew their position on what to do.
Is there it's a year, short, long, whatever you want to describe it. Do you feel like inside there's a place you have to get to, something you still need to say, some feeling you still need to have to make progress here?
I just want to let people know, and even though this tragedy happened, I don't want people to fear of who they are. Whether you're gay, straight, purple, blue, it don't matter. Be you. Be who you are. Love yourself and be the person that you want to be.
So you've made it all the way, or you still have some ways to go?
I'm learning as I go. That's what I can honestly say. So These past few months, I'm coming out on my own to, I go to bars with my fiance and friends. I've gone to a couple clubs. I've even spoken at Flamingo Resort, which is in St. Pete, for them. So I am coming out of my shell since that night.
I mean, I hope my job's not done. I want to get to a point where anyone can walk up to someone and give somebody a hug and people aren't afraid. And I mean, from now on, it's kind of made me want to be someone that hopefully can come across and teach people to be more accepting and pass that down to the younger generation, because that's the most important part, is that we need to learn from what happened and try to get past it and make sure we get to a place that it never happens again, which will take decades. Like Terry said, unfortunately, we're not at a place right now where we can't fear stuff like this happening, but we can slap it in the face by still being us and still doing what we do and having our flags held up super high and going out and dancing and just being ourselves.
You've taught us a lot.
Brian Anthony Alvear is the brother of Amanda Alvear, who was killed during the attack at the Pulse nightclub a year ago. Founder of hashtag Hugs Not Hate, Amanda Grau, survivor of the attack at the Pulse Club, and Terry DiCarlo, executive director, the GLBT Center of Central Florida.